Welcome to a powerful message from the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bronx North Branch. Lighthouse Chapel International branches worldwide provide every member the training, support, and encouragement to fulfill the Great Commission and to go to heaven and hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
Our beloved Father, please come down and lead us. We are waiting on your touch.
Father, we are grateful and thankful for another opportunity to be here in your presence, to hear your word, O God. Heavenly Father, your word teaches us not to forsake when the brethren come together, that we should not exclude ourselves from the gathering. We are grateful, Lord, that we fulfilled this scripture. We are grateful, Lord, that we have not forsaken the assembly of the brethren. As we have gathered, Lord, we pray, Father, that you will minister to us. We believe, O God, that our presence here is not by chance. We trust, O God, that you have ordered our steps to be here this evening. Therefore, Lord, may we not leave here the same. We pray, Father, that your word shall go forth and it shall accomplish the purpose for which you are sending it. I avail myself as a man, O God. Fill this vessel with your spirit and speak to us in the name of Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for another opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Wonderful. Well, and you may be seated. God bless you for your labor of love. Wow, Benjamin on the drums. Amazing. Wow. Such a blessing. Are you ready to receive the word of God? Are you prepared for the word of God? I'm not sure how prepared you are, but I believe the Lord will speak to you this. You know, when I opened the YouVersion Bible on my iPod today, the scripture that I saw was very amazing. The YouVersion scripture for the day, and it was, I believe you all may have read it. It was Psalm 5 verse 11, and it says, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will thou compass him as with a shield." Hallelujah. I say these people are in the spirit. The Lord will bless the righteous. Amen. Amen. The Lord will favor those who love him and those who serve him. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Well, this evening, I just want to share something very, very simple with you, but I believe will bless you. I want to share with you about spiritual things, you know, to desire spiritual things. Desire spiritual things. Tell your neighbor, desire spiritual things. Desire. Hallelujah. Desire. Amen. Amen. I remember last Sunday, you see, those of you who are here, especially those of you who attend Tuesday services, I consider you people who are very, very serious with their walk with God. You see, and especially your prevalence or your presence here this particular evening. You see, I consider you people as people who have taken their walk with God to another step or to another level. Do you see? And I think I will be doing you a disfavor if I do not also share certain things with you. You know, I will be doing you a disfavor if I do not open your eyes to see even how far you can go. Amen. Amen. How far you can go with the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So I believe at our church workers meeting, I shared about not falling short of the grace of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not falling short of the grace of God. And I think one of the things I shared about, or one of the great grace that I talked about, especially on Lighthouse Chapel International, is the multiplication of ministers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The multiplication of ministers in Lighthouse Chapel International. How easy it is for God to multiply ministers in our midst. Suddenly, then you realize there are ministers all over the place and churches are springing up all over the place. Hallelujah. I do not see any of you here falling short of that grace.
Amen.
Amen. I do not see you falling short of that grace. That grace is upon you as long as you remain faithful in the house of God. In this house of God. Hallelujah. Because it is grace that is upon the ministry. Amen. And I think this is really in conformity with the scriptures also. Hallelujah. Because the scripture says many are called. There are many of us who are called. Hallelujah. Many of us are called to do the work of God. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14. There are many of us who are called to be partakers of this ministry, to be partakers of this work. Hallelujah. And so you are included in the many, and especially if you belong to this church, because that great grace is upon the church. Hallelujah. So, and it's not surprising, because we don't expect this great God, we don't expect that he can be represented by some few minds and some few people. We can expect that such a great God will be represented by some few people. And the great task of winning souls or spreading his word at every corner of the world, we cannot expect that very few people will take on this task. Hallelujah. And especially if he's going to use men like you and I, men with such corrupt minds. Amen. If he's going to use men who do not have any perfection, men with such corrupt minds. Hallelujah. Our lust. We lust after awful things. Our jealousy. Amen. The jealousy in our hearts. Hallelujah. Backbiting. The way we lie so easily. Can you imagine that God is going to use us to accomplish such great goal, and one of the easiest things we do is to lie? It's not possible that God will use just a few men to do this great work. There are unforgiveness. And so on. So many things that we do. Hallelujah. But one thing that is amazing is that God is merciful. God is merciful, and no matter who you are, no matter how you are, if you avail yourself, he will use you. Hallelujah. As long as you avail yourself, he will use you. And besides, God sometimes will even use not so perfect situation, or not even close to perfect situation, or a person to accomplish a purpose. Hallelujah. God will use a condition that is not perfect at all to accomplish a purpose. Hallelujah. Someone that you not expect at all, God will use that person to accomplish a particular purpose. Judges chapter 14. Let's look at the scripture in Judges chapter 14. So include yourself in this great work. I want you to include yourself. I want you to see yourself as someone that God can easily use without any struggle for him at all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, God is not like us. God is not like us. God is not threatened. God is not threatened by many people doing this wonderful thing. God is not threatened by that. God is not worried about that. It is man who is threatened. It is man who feels we are all going to be the same. And, you know, it is man who does not give that opportunity. That is why I say this church is a blessed church.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is a blessed church. Amen. As far as you want to go, this church will help you to go. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, it is not, and that is why God has blessed the bishop so much. It was not easy for him to make multiply bishops. You see, it's not like one bishop sitting there and, you see, surrounded by all these pastors. But he has made many bishops. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And prophets and apostles. Wow.
Amen.
Judges chapter 14 and verse 1. Judges 14 and verse 1. He says, and Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. He said, I have seen a fine chick. Get her for me to wife. I have seen this nice girl in town. Get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him. You see, it's a wise thing to, when you find some fine girl, to tell your parents, to tell your father and your mother, to tell your pastor. You see, there are some people you find, and then you think that she finds so much that this one, you don't even need to have discussion with anyone. Otherwise, they will change your mind. You see, they will say something that will make you change your mind. By the time they realize you have done certain things that you are committed to marrying the person. But you see, he says, he came to his father and mother and said, I've seen this nice woman. Get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleases me very well. Hallelujah. So you see, this man came to tell his father and his mother about the woman that he has found that he wants to marry. And the parents, as usual, you see, they were very disappointed. They say, oh, is there no other woman amongst our people, amongst our tribe, that you can marry? Is there no other woman amongst, even if you can't find someone in our tribe, if you can't find a Ghanaian woman, at least find some Ghanaian woman. You see, at least, you know, it doesn't have to be an Ewe or a Ghan or Ashanti, but at least find a Ghanaian, something. You can't find any other woman. What is wrong with you? You can't find any of all the women in our tribe and in the nation. You can't find anyone except this uncircumcised Philistine. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, because the Philistines were considered unbelievers. Now, this scripture that I'm sharing with you, I don't want you to misuse the scripture. Do you understand? I don't want you to misuse the scripture. I'm teaching you something very, very important, but I'm not saying go and find some unbeliever. You know, go and find some unbeliever. And because I'm going to show you something very, very interesting in this. So the Philistines were like unbelievers, do you see? And they were also the enemies of the Israelites. So when he came to his parents and says, find me a wife. I said, I have found a wife. I have found a woman. Just get her that I will marry her. And they said, you can't find any other woman. But look at verse 4. That's the verse that we are interested in. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Hallelujah. That is why I didn't want to share this with you. Because some of you will go and find some unbeliever boyfriend and bring him to the church and say, Reverend, I brought a man. I have found a man. Get him for me to husband. And I say, and I will say, what church does he go to? Oh, I think he just joined the church down there. Reverend, but he's a good man. And he has a passport. He has an American passport. Hallelujah. And then you tell me, but it was of the Lord. But his reverend didn't know. Do you see? So you see, and you are quoting from the book of Judges. You see, Judges 14, according to Judges 14, verse 4. When I found a husband who was even not a serious Christian, it was of the Lord. The Lord ministered to me that I should marry. Then you should be able to also say that the Lord sought for an occasion against the unbelievers. That is why he brought me this husband. Hallelujah. If you don't hear that part, then it's not of the Lord. But you see, verse 4, it says, but his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Hallelujah. Now look, if you go back to the chapter before that, chapter 13 of the same book, and verse 24, it says, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Verse 25, he says, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Do you see? So is the Bible is saying this man who is now choosing to marry an unbeliever. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord moved him at times. Hallelujah. He says the Spirit of the Lord moved him. That means that he was led by the Spirit. He was anointed. And now we see him now finding a woman that his parents that do not even approve of. Hallelujah. Now it was not that the Lord delighted in Samson's unbeliever marriage, but the Bible says he sought an occasion against the Philistines. The Lord sought an occasion against the Philistines. And so I'm trying to teach you that for what God wants to accomplish for his purpose, he may use someone that is so unusual, or an occasion that is so unusual, as someone that is moved by the Spirit, but yet marrying an unbeliever. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing? You look at me like you don't understand what I'm sharing with you. Hallelujah. So he is marrying an unbeliever, okay, but the Lord is using him to marry this unbeliever as an occasion that he's seeking against the Philistines' army. Hallelujah. So the Bible says his parents did not know that. His parents did not know that actually this behavior of their son is led by the Spirit. That it was God using him to accomplish his purpose. Hallelujah. So God can actually use a very some way person, someone that we do not approve of at all. God can use someone like that to accomplish something that he wants to do. Hallelujah. And even his parents will not know, even you will not know that this person God is using it. And you yourself, you will not even know that this behavior is actually God using it to accomplish a purpose. And that that behavior of yours, it is something that God is using to bring you nearer, to bring you closer, to use you to accomplish a purpose. He said he sought for an occasion against the people of the Philistines. And this is the occasion. That he will make a man who is so anointed from childhood, a man who the Spirit of God was leading to grow up and now marry a Philistine's woman. Hallelujah. Are you understand what I'm sharing with you? Do you understand? So the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord was moving him at times. But look at the woman that he chose. Hallelujah. So when you see something, only bad taste in woman, asomua, God is actually leading him to make that choice. Hallelujah. He said, this man has a very bad taste. This man has a very bad taste when it comes to choosing a wife. And the women around, the Israelites women, they saw something and his hair and how handsome he looks. And they were all around him. And they said, have you heard who he's marrying? Ah, this is bad taste. What is wrong with this man? Not knowing that the Lord was moving him to make that choice. And his parents did not even know. Hallelujah. So for instance, if you came to the church, you came to the church and you saw something preaching, Samson ministering and sharing, and you're sitting down, and at the end of the service, they showed you, oh, that man is a very powerful man of God. Oh, the way he was preaching. He said, where is his wife? Ah! You see his wife, the way she's dressed with some jeans that is all over the place, and his eyeshadow. You know, there's some makeup that they call a bad girl makeup. You see? Some bad girl makeup. If you see his wife with a bad girl makeup and his bad girl lipstick and all the bad hairstyle with her bad hair, bad girl dress, hey! And then you see him, and then they say, that is a pastor's wife. He said, oh, God cannot be with him. It's not possible that God, he must be after something. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? You see, the Bible says, and his parents did not know that this act, it was God moving him to do that. Hallelujah. That is why you have to be very, very careful when you speak about men of God. You have to be very, very careful. Some of you gather and you talk when you are in your cars and you are going home, they're talking. You have to be very, very careful. Hallelujah. And you'll be amazed how God reveals such conversation to the man of God. Hallelujah. You have to be very, very careful when you are talking about men of God. Amen. And women of God. Hallelujah. People that God has chosen to use to accomplish a purpose. God's generational plan. God's ancestral plan that he has planned. How he is going to deliver the people of Israel. How he has sought for an occasion, and the occasion has presented itself. Perfect occasion for the Lord. And you are sitting there and you are talking about it. That's what a choice, Lord, that you make. Cannot choose any way better than this. Can't you choose anyone better than this? And that's how our conversations are sometimes. That is how our conversations are. The way we talk, it's like God has made a wrong choice. Hallelujah. But I'm saying that God can choose any one of you. God can use any one of you and your situation and your condition, and will use it as an occasion to save someone, an occasion to minister to this group, an occasion to bring these people into their ministry, an occasion to enlighten these people to the gospel, an occasion to finally open the eyes of these people to hear and to see the grace of God. Hallelujah. So we have to be very, very careful when we are talking about men of God. Sometimes we're talking and talking and talking the way he's talking. He talks like a child. He talks like this. He's too young. He's too old. He's too this. He's limpy. He's this and he's that. Hallelujah. But God can use any one of you. Amen. You don't judge God. You do not assess God with your mind. With your mind that is already filthy. Your mind that you are using to assess and to analyze and to judge, it is dirty already. It is filthy. Hallelujah. It is of no use, no good at all. And that is the same mind that you are using. Don't use your mind a lot when it comes to spiritual things. I say, do not use your mind a lot when it comes to spiritual things. When it comes to spiritual things, behave like you are also dumb. Behave like you have no mind. Behave like you have not gone to university before. Behave like you cannot even read when it comes to the things of God. Hallelujah. I say desire spiritual things. Desire spiritual things. Hallelujah. When it comes to the things of God, your mind does not help at all. You realize that your mind is analyzing things. And so you see, even the scripture says in, I believe in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 14, that when you are praying, can we see that scripture? 1 Corinthians 14 and 14. It says, I will pray in the spirit. He says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. But my understanding is unfruitful. Give me the New American Standard Version. In that scripture, he says, my understanding is unfruitful. Your understanding is unfruitful. He says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Your mind is useless. Have you not realized? Have you not realized that even when you are praying, as we are praying, and some young, beautiful woman walks in the church, and you are praying, you are having conversation with God. You are in communication with God. And then some young woman like that walks in here. That is the first time that she's walking. And you are standing here leading the prayers. And then as you are praying, your mind is unfruitful. It's unfruitful. You realize you are praying, but your mind is wandering. Sometimes we are fasting and we are praying, and your mind is on Banku and Okro stew as we are praying. We are here and we are praying, and then you are thinking, how many minutes on the microwave do you have to put in? How many minutes? And then somebody told you, as for Kenke, don't warm it too much. You have to warm it. And then you are thinking, did she say 1.5 minutes or 2.5 minutes? And you are praying. And you are praying. As you are praying, your mind is on recipe and seasons. And she said you have to take 2 spoons of butter. And as you are praying, your mind is useless. Your mind is unfruitful. I say desire spiritual things. Desire spiritual things. Hallelujah. Your mind is unfruitful. Since your mind is unfruitful, so don't use your mind a lot when you are analyzing spiritual things, when you are analyzing about the things of, and so the scripture, if you continue on, let's read that scripture. You see, so it says verse 15, it's frozen. So verse 15, it says, what is it then? It's okay. You can go back to King James. That's fine. He says, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit. And I will pray with the understanding also. I will pray with the mind also. I will sing with the spirit. And I will sing with the understanding also. You see, and I'm showing you why you need to do that. Do you see? But really, you ought to pray in the spirit. Really, you ought to pray in the spirit because your mind is unfruitful. Your mind is on dirty things. Your mind is on, sometimes your mind, when you are praying, the things that come to your mind, you are shy. If it, you are shy. You are embarrassed that you are before God and you are praying. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? Sometimes you yourself, you pause for a moment. And then you try to let the thing get out of your mind because this thing, God should not see it. God should, look, if we are to bring our minds and then we open our mind and we take our heads and we open them and then we line up our minds here and we are looking at them. And then after we have looked at them and then we say, okay, now come and pick up your mind. Some people, you will be embarrassed. You will not come back. We will be looking for the owner of this mind. Whose mind is here? Come and pick it up. You'll be embarrassed to come and pick up your mind. There's no owner for this mind. You are walking home without your mind because you are embarrassed to pick up this mind and put it back. You are ashamed of yourself to pick up your mind. The things that are going on in your mind, you are embarrassed. You are shy. Hallelujah. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? Desire spiritual things. Don't use your mind too much. Your mind makes you analyze things too much. And you lose on things. You lose on the benefits of God. Hallelujah. So he says, I will pray in the spirit and I'll pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. Verse 16, else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, the reason why he says, I will pray in my understanding also and sing in my understanding also. He says, otherwise, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupied the room or that is in the same room with you of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? Do you understand why we have to pray also with the understanding? So that we can say what?
Amen.
Do you see how important? That's why we have to bring this dirty mind in, because the word amen is very important. That when we get there, at the end, when we say, in Jesus' name we pray, amen, somebody can also join and say it. But if we are only praying in the unknown tongue, when we end and we have, even in the spirit, we have said, in Jesus' name we pray, the person may not know to even agree and say that important word,
amen.
Hallelujah. And so for that reason, we have to bring this mind in the prayer. We have to bring this dirty mind in the prayer. Amen. So if you are here, you don't pray in the spirit, you need to see me. We have to pray for you that you start speaking in tongues. You have to pray in the spirit. You organize a meeting and pray for everyone that does not speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Because you are losing. You are praying with your understanding. And it's not benefiting you. Amen. And so, continue. He says, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Do you see? You have prayed in the spirit and you have given thanks very well. You have ended your prayer, but the other one is not edified. You have been edified, but the other one is not. And then verse 18, he says, I thank my God, I speak with thanks more than all of you. Oh, Paul said, I thank God that as for me, I speak in tongues more than all of you. That means that maybe 99% of his prayers is in tongues. Hallelujah. And he's giving thanks to God for that. He said, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding. 5 words with my understanding. Do you see? I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So he would rather speak 10,000 words in an unknown tongue and 5 words in the understanding just to edify someone so that you have understanding. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you understand the scriptures? So it is important that we desire spiritual things. Amen. You don't use your mind too much. It is unfruitful. It is not profitable. It does not benefit you. So anything that your mind is analyzing and concluding, just consider and leave it unto the Lord, because it's not benefiting you. It is not beneficial at all. If you have used your mind and you have analyzed that this sister is really some way and this, it is not benefiting you. Your mind has just told you that, and that mind is unfruitful. It's not fruitful to you as you are analyzing with your mind. And so with the same mind, that is how come you have analyzed, and you yourself, you have concluded that I am not a pastor. I cannot be a lady pastor. I can never become a pastor. I can, because of your mind, because of the analysis of the mind. But this evening, I am telling you that everyone that is sitting here who has taken his walk with the Lord seriously, you are an ordained minister. He said that he ordained you, that you too, you will bring forth fruit, and that your fruit will remain. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So stop analyzing with your mind, and stop analyzing with your understanding. Hallelujah. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing? Your mind is not helpful. Your mind, your understanding is not fruitful. Amen. When you consider in your mind, when you consider your taste in women, it disqualifies you right there. When you consider your taste in men, the way you want a man, you see, you realize that your choice of man, there's no spirituality in it. A man with a 6 packs or 7 packs and 5'9" and 6'2" and muscles, and there's nothing spiritual about it. You see, with a profession and a job and this and that. So you see, it is the mind, and it's not profitable. Do not use your mind when you are getting married, when you are choosing a man. Do not use your mind. It is unfruitful, and it's not profitable. It is not profitable. That I don't like the way he walks. You know, he's a K-legger. And I don't like the way he eats. When he's eating, he opens his mouth. And you see, I don't like that. I see his tongue when he's eating. Amen. So you realize that it's not fruitful. It's not helping you. The mind is unfruitful. Hallelujah. When you analyze you yourself, you analyze yourself, and your taste of drinks. You see, some people like Coca-Cola, some people like Sprite, some people, but you, the way I cough my beer and I cough my gin, I don't think God will use me. Don't use your mind to calculate and analyze and think that God will not use you. God will very much use someone that you thought. It's not the person that God is going to use. Hallelujah. Don't use your mind. You analyze with your mind. The way my mouth is, my mouth. Even you yourself, how you insult. The way you insult. You don't think you are the type that. But I'm telling you, the way you insult is there. God knows that. But he adds grace and mercy to the truth. That makes you also qualify. Hallelujah. It makes you qualify. Amen. Don't use your mind too much. You disqualify so many people, including yourself. including yourself. Hallelujah. Including yourself. Amen. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord moved him at times. The Spirit of the Lord moved him at times. And he made a choice like that. Samson made a choice like that. Hallelujah. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 11. I said there is great grace upon the house, and I do not want you to exclude yourself at all from this great grace. Desire spiritual things. Say to your neighbor, desire spiritual things. Say, stop using your mind too much. You say spiritual things are not computers. You can use your mind on the computers. But when it comes to spiritual things, do not use your mind, because it is unfruitful. Why don't you clap for Jesus? Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. He says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the work of the ministry, for the work of the ministry. He says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, that the saints will be perfected. The saints will come to a stage for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That, listen, that we henceforth be no more children. I think you have been a child for too long, running to the prophet here and there and there. I think you have been a child for too long. In this stage of your Christian life, that you ought to be at a fullness of Christ and be perfected as a saint and to do the work of the ministry, you are still running around prophets, looking for prophets. Lighthouse Chapel International, you should not be doing that if you are in this church. I say you should not be doing that if you are in this church. That you are after this prophet here, and some of you, you actually also try to organize church members to also go and see such prophets, taking them from the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. He says that we henceforth, after now, from now, henceforth, be no more children. That means spiritual children, spiritual babies. Be no more children being tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Hallelujah. They look at you. Is your wife dark skin? Yes. Is she about your height or a little shorter than you? Yes, yes, yes. A little shorter than you. A little shorter than you. You know, that wife, there are certain people who are after her. Eh? And then they look. Seven. Do you have $700? $700. You see, you think I'm joking. More than $700. $7,000. Do you have $7,000 in your account? And by the time you realize, you have exactly $7,000 in your account. And then you fall. This prophet, how does he know that is 7,050? So that when you take the 7,000, you can still keep the account and leave the 50 inside. It says, they lie in wait to deceive. You see, God did not give us this gift to be telling you things like this. God did not, let me tell you, I am teaching you something really important. He says, he gave some apostles. I'm talking about apostles. I'm talking about prophets that you go to see, that you hear that there's a prophet in town that you are following. He says, he gave some apostles. He gave some prophets. You realize that he gave some, not all of us. Not everyone is a prophet. Not everyone is an apostle. Not everyone is a pastor. Not everyone can preach to people and keep them in the church years after years and maintaining them. Not everyone has that gift. Not everyone can teach the scriptures that you can understand the scriptures. Not everyone has that gift. Not everyone can prophesy that it comes to pass. Not everyone has that. But he gave some apostles. Some, they have the ease of certain churches. They go here, oh, by the time you realize they have started church. They are here and they have started a church. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. For what? So that you bring your $7,000 from your account. He did not say that. He says, for the perfecting of the saints. So when, after you have had an encounter with the prophet, you should come out as a perfect saint. You should come out, after you have had an encounter, you should have a deeper understanding of the scriptures. You should have a closer walk with God. You should come to a stage where you say that my Christian life has been elevated. I am now at a different level in my walk with God. I can understand God more now. I can see what God is doing now. And I am moving with God now. Amen. Not that now I don't like my grandmother. Now I don't get along with my wife. Now I don't get along with my co-worker in the office. Because you have had an encounter with the prophet. And that has resulted that now you have left the church. Because you have had an encounter with some prophet. Instead of being perfected as a saint. And now doing the work of the ministry. Doing the work of the ministry. Your encounter has taken you from the work of the ministry. It cannot be one of the gifts that he gave to the people. It cannot be. Chris, do you understand what I'm sharing with you? It cannot be. It cannot be that after if I have received that gift, if I have received that gift, and I have come and I have had an encounter with you, you should leave this place now having a deeper understanding of some scripture that you did not know before. Having a deeper knowledge of God's ways. That now, since I encountered this man, I can see that God can also use me. You have been perfected as a saint. That after my encounter with this man, I can see that my mind is not benefiting me. I should stop using my mind and excluding myself from the work of the ministry. God has perfected you for the work of the ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. Is somebody understanding the scriptures this evening? Amen. He says, for the perfecting, he gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, to perfect the saints, to prepare the saints, to perfect them. For the work of the ministry. Nothing else. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. That after that encounter, the body of Christ, which is the church, is now edified. You have gone to be with some prophet. And when you have come back, our church is now edified. Just because of you and your encounter with that prophet. Our church is edified. When you are around, the people they feel more love. They are more together. They are doing more work now. There are more people in the ministry. There are more people wanting to do the work of God because of your encounter with the apostle, because of your encounter with the pastor, because of your encounter with the preacher, because of your encounter with the teacher. Hallelujah. But when you use your mind, you will not benefit from these things. When you use your mind will entice you that you need to hear. You need to hear some new doctrine. You need to hear something about someone who is doing you. Say so that you are looking for someone who will tell you that your grandmother is doing you. It does not perfect you for any work of the ministry. That your grandmother, that I am able to tell you that your grandmother is doing you, does not perfect you in any way for the work of the ministry. That ability God has given to you, he says, suffer not a witch to live. That is your prayer, that you pray that if there is a witch in your life, that person will not live. That is the prayer of the saints. When the saint is perfected, you can pray that prayer and no witch in your life would withstand. It's not the prophet's job to come and tell you that there's a grandmother that is doing you and there is an old lady in your village that is doing you. That now you are afraid even to go to your own village. But God has put that power in your hand. After you have been perfected as a saint, as a result of your encounter with the pastor, with the teacher, and with the prophet, when there are pastors, and with the apostles, you are perfected as a saint. That now you understand the scriptures to use it yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Oh yeah, I know I'm preaching a good message. And I want you to take that and stop those things, those roughness. Hallelujah. Sister, we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth, that you see, that after today, after you have been here, after today, you should henceforth not be tossed to and fro. If I'm able to expound the scriptures to you such that from today you will henceforth not be tossed to and fro, I have done my work as a minister. I have done my work as a pastor. I have done my work as a teacher of the word of God. Hallelujah. That you come to that conclusion. You see, that is the ultimate conclusion, that from henceforth, after this, all this gift given, then it is accomplished the goal of henceforth, no more children. We are no spiritual babies anymore. We are mature Christians, that we are not easily tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That there is one here, Gun Hill Road, White Plains Road, here. Where is he? Oh, now he has moved to Tracy Towers. He's going to be on Tracy Towers for 3 days, apartment 43B. And then he'll move to Co-op City. Then when you go, you see a lot of people line up in the hallway. What are they going to do? We are going to see a prophet. A prophet to tell you that your grandmother is doing you. A prophet to tell you that you should leave your husband or leave your wife. A prophet to tell you that, oh yes, oh yes. A prophet to tell you, don't eat your wife's food. He said, do you see that? Have you seen that always there is some circles of oil? What kind of soup does not have circles of oil on top of it? Have you seen that whenever he serves you, there are circles of oil on the soup? Those circles, they represent this one and that one and that one. Don't eat the food. Onuya, if you want to live, don't leave the food. And then you two, you are sitting there. And then your mind, and you are looking at all the circles that you have eaten. Circles of oil that you have eaten. And you are very angry. Hey, this woman, I see. Now she will know that I have found out. And you have made that decision. You are leaving your wife. Because some prophet has told you the food that you have. Look at yourself. Look at you. Before you got married and now. You look at yourself. You look at yourself. And tell me. Look at yourself and tell me. That the circles of oil, if it has done you good or it has done you evil. Look at yourself. That just one encounter with a prophet has made you make a conclusion like that. Shame on you. Say to your neighbor, shame on you. Hallelujah. Look, let's read that scripture again. Let's read it again. Look, he says, verse 11. Look at that. He says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God gave these gifts. He says he gave some prophets, some teachers, some pastors, some apostles. For what? For the perfecting of the saints. This is the reason. Beloved, this is the reason why God gave these gifts. That his saints will be perfect. His saints will be equipped. His saints will be well trained. That his saints will see the great grace that is upon the church. That his saints' eyes will open unto the blessings of God. That the saints will see themselves as ready for God's work. He says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Look, it is going in sequence. You see, there are certain things that you do to accomplish something. And then you do the next one. And that one will propel you to accomplish. This is what is happening. God has just given gifts. He has given gifts to some. Not everyone has the same gift. He has given gifts. Several gifts. And now the gifts are moving. And the gifts come to a stage and is perfecting the saints. The gifts now have perfected the saints. They have equipped the saints. So the saints have moved forward. They are now doing the work of the ministry. The saints are joining ministries. More saints are singing. More saints are playing instruments. More saints are leading prayers. More saints are handling the publication. More saints are handling instruments. More saints are arranging chairs. More saints are ushering. More saints, because of the various gifts that God has given, it has accomplished this purpose. And when the saints do all these things, you see, finally, the church of Christ is edified. The church of Christ is edified. So when you come to the church, you are a very happy person. The church is a place you want to be. The church is a place you desire to be. When there's a church, when the church is not happening, you are not happy. You prefer to be in the church than to be at home, because the church has been edified, and all of that came as a result of the gift that God gave to man. All of that came as a result of the gift. He didn't give the gift that the prophets will tell who is a witch and is doing you. That the prophet will tell, who is this? Look, everything that you need as a saint, when you are perfected and you are doing the work of the ministry, is in the scriptures. I say, everything that you need are in the scriptures. Everything is in the scriptures.
that you are traveling, you do not need to take money and go and see some prophets because you are traveling. Because the scripture will tell you, safety is of the Lord. And when you know that scripture, you say, I am embarking on this trip because safety is of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So you don't need a prophet to tell you there are enemies that are against you. Bring me this and I will do this. The prophet encounter with you should perfect you as a saint for the work of the ministry. If I have ministered to you and ministered to you and ministered to you, and you nothing is moving you to do the work of the ministry, I have not accomplished my goal. It means the gift that God gave to me, it has not perfected you and it has not benefited you. And I have to reanalyze the gift that is in me to see how else I can do to perfect you as a saint for the work of the ministry. For the work of the ministry. For the work of the ministry. That now you too, you are interested in doing something for God. If I'm able to do that, then the gift that God gave me has accomplished its purpose. Hallelujah. I think our time is up. And I have, we will continue next week when we meet. There's so much that I want to share with you. But stand onto your feet. Stand onto your feet. Stand onto your feet. Stand onto your feet. Yes. Oh. Ask the Lord that whoever you are, whatever you are, whatever you have done, that He will use you also. He will use you. That whatever is not perfect for the work, may it be perfected as a saint, that you can also do the work of the ministry. Oh, yes.
Lord, yes. Preserve.
It says, many are called, but few are chosen. You are included in the few that are chosen. Yes, include yourself. It says, many are called, for the work of the ministry.
Oh, now the ancient words
sing holy words,
holy words, long preserved.
No matter who you are, God will use you to accomplish a purpose.
Yes.
Oh, no matter what your situation is. No matter what your situation is. No matter what your situation is. Yes.
Ancient words.
we thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for understanding. We thank you, Father, for the revelation that has come. We thank you, Lord, for the clarity of mind. Heavenly Father, we avail ourselves, oh God. Lord, we see and we understand now that no matter what our circumstances are, no matter how our situations are, no matter who we are, even Samson, oh God, when he chose to marry a Philistine woman, an unbeliever, Lord, his parents did not know that the Spirit of the Lord was moving him. And you said that you sought for an occasion to accomplish a purpose, an occasion against the Philistines' army, an occasion to deliver your people. Father, may you use our circumstances. May you find an occasion in our circumstances to use us to deliver somebody, to bring someone to Christ. Use us, oh God. Use our situation. Use it as an occasion, oh God, to deliver someone, to bring salvation to someone, to witness to somebody. No matter what we have been, no matter what we have done, Lord, we see that you are a God that looketh not on the outside. Therefore, we avail ourselves. Help us, oh God. We have used our minds to analyze so much. We have used our mind to analyze men of God. We have used our minds to analyze women of God. We have used our minds to analyze ourselves, Father, and we have concluded that we do not qualify. But this evening you have revealed to us that we all qualify. You say many are chosen. May we be included in the field, in the field, in the field that you have chosen. For you call so many. Father, may we respond that we be included in the chosen one in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the great grace that is upon the house. May we fall under this grace in the name of Jesus. We give you glory and we give you honor for what has happened to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's anyone here this evening, you want to give your life to Jesus, you are not born again, you want to receive Christ as your Savior. Before even you be a perfect saint, you have to become a saint. A saint is a child who has received Christ as a Savior. If you are here, you want to come to Jesus Christ, you want to receive Christ as your Savior, you are not born again, just lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Lift up your right hand and all the benefits that Christ has for you will come upon you. You are here this evening like that. Lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you, Lord, for calling us to be partakers of this great ministry. We thank you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't you clap for Jesus as you take your seats?
Feed our blessings, we want you. Open up the sky.
We hope you have been blessed immensely by this message. Join us at 1734 Williamsbridge Road in the Bronx on Sunday afternoons and Tuesday evenings. For copies of this and other messages, contact us via email at lci.bronx@gmail.com.